World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Heading off to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. You remember that song, once, Jimmy Buffett? I always wanted to sing that Labor Day. Labor Day weekend show. I had my conversation with my grandson, our grandson David, yesterday, and asking this question, or maybe it was Reese, doesn't matter. I said, can you explain to me why on Labor Day we don't work? She just looked at me. So if we were going to celebrate going to the beach, wouldn't we all go to the beach and swim? If we were going to celebrate baseball, wouldn't we all go to a baseball game and watch one? If we were all going to celebrate 4th of July, wouldn't we bring fireworks and blow them off? And we're going to celebrate Labor Day and nobody's going to work. It's crazy. Did you ever think about that? Hey, I noticed something the other day about me. I want to explain this again. I don't trust people that don't look at me and they talk to me. Just something about them, it makes me say, why won't you look at me? I want you to know that right in front of me is a big screen, okay? So sometimes I'm looking up here as I'm talking. People are up here on this part of the screen. There are people. And then people, when they want to ask questions, their hand goes up, and this is where I see it. So when I'm talking to you and I'm looking over here, it's not because I can't look in the eye. I can look in the eye. So I apologize that sometimes I'm not looking you in the eye and I'm saying stuff to you, because I don't know about you, it makes me think, I can't trust that guy. It's 56 degrees. Right now, 56 degrees. In fact, here in my multi-million dollar studio, I got my studio outside door open and letting that fresh, cool air come in. Now, last week, it was 96. Somebody explain that to me. How do we go? Is the sun really that hot? We go from 96 to 56. I don't even know what, temperature was overnight, how cool it got. You know, pretty daggone cool. How about this? Tomorrow it's going to get down to 49. Although we don't have any rain anymore. I don't know when it last rained here. I'm telling you. I looked at the map. Oh, no, you can't see that on my phone app. There ain't rain forever down through there. Although we'd like to get some. Thanks for joining us today here on Labor Day weekend. It really is true, Labor Day weekend. You guys don't have any idea? I'm going to be all over the place then, probably. First of all, welcome home, Steve Deck. I'll get you in here a second. Do you really understand how much the labor unions controlled America? My dad was a factory worker. God bless. Hey, God bless those guys. They all came back from the army, and all of a sudden, the Industrial Revolution. Well, the modern Industrial Revolution took place, and people went to Rockwell to work at Rockwell and Kaiser Aluminum and fiberglass. If all these factories popped up, and there was all kinds of work, and all it was clearly the golden days of America, wasn't it? During those days, and how many? I was thinking the other day, how many people in the Newark, Ohio area? Because I can think of that's sort of where I grew up in that area. I can think of how many factories there were, 5, 6, 7 huge factories that employed people. And thank God for the labor movement, and thank God for, wow. But the labor union really, really has screwed everything up. Look what happened to education because of the labor union. You do know, don't you, friends, that all the crap, all the stupid crap that's going on is because the labor unions and education have been seized by the communists. Forced unionship. I remember when that happened to me. Forced. I had to be in the union. What do you mean I had to be in the union? Yeah, and all those people out there screaming and hollering about freedom and liberty and yada, yada, yada. Here on Labor Day to force you to be part of something. That doesn't seem very American, does it? And I thank God for the unions fed my family. My dad fed his family, put his kids through college. God bless it. God bless American labor. But folks, it isn't what it used to be. Sadly, it isn't. We're totally out of control. I've got some, this is going to be kind of a controversial morning because I got some stuff. Hey, Betty, I'm just thinking of Betty because I know Betty loved me no matter what. Betty, I got to talk about some of this stuff. I got to talk about some stuff today that probably is going to make you mad. Some of you, not everybody. Let me just pause there a second. I want to take a minute. Let's just take a minute here. I want some of you to raise your hand and tell me a controversial belief in Christianity that not every denomination has. Can somebody name one for me? I'll wait. You want me to start rattling them off?
No, I can start, Coach.
Hey, Bobby, get here for me. Give me one, Bobby.
Listen, I've been doing a deep dive into the Crusades and returning back to the Black Robe Regiment. The belief system that we are not supposed to defend ourselves, fight back, or be aggressive and do what needs to be done. We would not be here without the aggressive warrior class of Christians all throughout history. And we have done what needed to be done in order to maintain our presence in the church across the world, right? Or earth, right? Across the world. Europe would have been totally taken, much of Europe would have been taken over by the Muslim religions had Christians not stopped the mass rape, torture, and death that was taking place for hundreds of years. And the same thing here in America. If we hadn't have stood up, if the pastors had not have established dominance and demonstrated courage and walked hundreds of miles from different directions with thousands of men to join Washington's army, we would be still under total dictatorial rule today.
So, Bobby, your point is Christianity is not totally nonviolent.
Christianity, open your Bible, pastors and submissive, cowardice Christians, right? Christianity was violent to do what needed to be done. God is a God. In Exodus 13, I'm reading, God, Yahweh is my name. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is my name. That's all throughout the Bible, right?
I know. Yeah, that's right. Oh, Bobby, you won't believe what you. Well, I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. It's unbelievable, Bobby. Good start. Somebody else, tell me something. A doctrine that not every Christian believes, and you're still allowed to be a Christian. You just don't believe that. Can somebody give me another one? Mary Beth.
I was going to say speaking in tongues, but I believe in it. But I think it's done in an incorrect fashion, I guess.
Okay, so Mary Beth, let me stop right there because that's a great one. Can you be a non-Christian and not speak in tongues? Let me say this right. Can you be a Christian and not speak in tongues?
Yes.
Yes. Do all Christians speak in tongues?
No.
No. If you're speaking in tongues and you think that's the total gospel, are you right or wrong? You're wrong.
You're wrong.
I think
that it's done incorrectly. Like I really believe that the Holy Spirit can speak for us, but I also believe that tongues, it's another language. It's like German. Like if you're in Germany.
Okay, so Mary Beth, what about those flag waving charismatics? They just go into church and they dance around and they just wave their flags and they said they were moved by the Holy Spirit to do that. Why isn't that going on in the Baptist church? And are the Baptists less Catholic, less Christian because they're not doing that? And are the charismatics more Christian because they are waving the flags? Does waving the flags, is that evidence of the Holy Spirit? These are questions that plague me all the time when I try to deal with people regarding Christianity and they ask me those questions. And I can't really. Why don't Baptists, if speaking in tongues is real, why don't Baptists believe in it? And are you mean to tell me that the entire Church of God denomination has got it wrong on speaking in tongues? Wait a minute. There's two different Church of God denominations, aren't there? There's a Church of God out of someplace out of Tennessee, and then there's a Church of God out of something else, and one of them believes in speaking in tongues, and the other doesn't believe in. Does it? The question I'm asking you, how do you know what to believe? How do you know what to believe? And how do you know if you're right? Hang with me. Go ahead, Judah.
My understanding of what the Reformed Church is, in the Reformed Church, the prosperity gospel of sowing seeds to have return to harvest. But from that perspective, you can sow seed. However, the ORU, Oral Roberts University, which was helped set up by George Bush and the CIA, have infiltrated the churches to think that North America, if you go around the globe, God's word doesn't return void. But the United States, they turned it into an altar that steals your money. And then they use it against you. People don't understand this. They use that money now against you for their new world order.
Infiltration. You know, there's some tongue talkers, charismatics, I think is the word they use, who say you're not a Christian if you don't speak in tongues. And then I'll hear some people, hang on, Al, I'll get to you, Dale, hang on. Then I'll hear some people, hey, folks, I'm going to open a can of worms, better get ready. You better get ready. Are Catholics Christians? Whoa, Coach Dave. Are Catholics going to heaven? Whoa, Coach Dave. You have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven? Whoa, Coach Dave. What about the Jews? Whoa. So you're not allowed to go to any of these things, right? Because we all have our own denominational beliefs, right? Here's what my denominational belief is. This is just me. If you are not born again, you are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that belongs every Catholic in the world, every Baptist in the world, every Methodist, every Lutheran, every Episcopalian, everyone not born again of the Spirit of God is not on their way to heaven, including our friends in Israel.
Boom.
So everybody would probably agree with me until I use that last one. When I use that last one, that Israel one, oh boy, right? You know what I'm talking about? I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. Come on in, Alan.
Good morning, Coach. Yeah, I just put a post on. I just put a real controversial post on Facebook a few minutes ago, and it was because of another post I had read from a friend of mine. But you know, if you think about it like this, the 12 disciples was with Jesus for 1,317 and a half days. 40 of those days they were with him was after the resurrection. Every one of them baptized in Jesus' name, every one of them. And not only that, every one of them, after the repentance happened, when they were preaching, after somebody repented, whether it was 3,000 people or however many it was, the Ethiopian eunuch, however many it was, as soon as they repented, they were baptized on the spot right then in Jesus' name. So why is it that this many centuries later, we don't want to baptize in Jesus' name? We want to kill each other over that. But it's funny how Apollos, the Bible talks about in Acts 19, was a very eloquent speaker, which I'm not, and he was all these things. But he had never even heard of the Holy Ghost. And then Paul taught him, and all of a sudden what happens? Apollos and his disciples all got rebaptized in Jesus' name, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost that they had never heard of.
Says that right
there. So I don't know who's got it wrong. I mean, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, that baptism doth now save us. Well, I don't know. That's what Peter said. He was with the Lord for 1,317 and a half days. 40 of those days was after the king resurrected. So I don't know who's right, who's wrong. Is Peter right? Am I wrong? I don't know. It's kind of funny, though. Good topic, Coach.
How about this? How about when Jesus gathered all the disciples in the book of Acts? It wasn't Jesus. It was Peter. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And Alan, I'm not just Alan, folks. Why do we identify ourselves? Well, I go to a spirit-filled church. As if you go to a church that isn't spirit-filled. What does that mean? What does that mean? See, this is all lingo and confusion, I believe, man-made created religion. Dale, come on in.
Amen, Coach, because we all feel like that we have these little crutches. But, you know, Paul addressed that. And when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, that he distributes gifts to each different type of person. There's gifts of wisdom. There's gifts of knowledge. There's gifts of tongues. There's gifts of interpretation of tongues. There's gifts of the spirit. There's gifts of healing, the miraculous powers, prophesying, distinguishing between spirits. All of these are gifts given by the Holy Spirit. Now,
Dale, I'm with you. Hang on just a second. But there are people who say that if you don't speak in tongues, which is a gift, you're not
saved. It's a gift. Hey, coach, if I give you a gift of $100, but I don't give Alan a gift of $100, right? Who has that gift? You have the gift, right? But yeah, I'm talking, listen, I've had these conversations with Flip Benham. Flip Benham doesn't speak in tongues, but he totally recognizes that it is of the Lord. And so, coach, just because I don't have it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Is that correct? Deal.
To build a whole denomination around that.
Exactly. Well, so when you were talking about the First Church of God, I want to tell you something. One of the things that happened, just a little historical evidence, one of the things that happened in the First Church of God is that they used to believe in the gifts of tongues, but then it became a disorder in the church. This was, I don't know how many decades ago. And because of that, they stopped it. In other words, they quenched it. And so they no longer allow that. Now, I want to go back to this, but going back to it doesn't matter. Because what really matters, Jesus looked at his disciples when he breathed on them, and they went out and they were casting out devils and they were healing the sick, and they came back rejoicing because the demons were believing them. Jesus said, hey, boys, don't rejoice in this, that the devils are believing you, but that's rejoice right. That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Dude.
Period.
Period. Period. Period. Hey, Dale, I run into those that say if you don't use the proper words, baptize in Jesus' name. If you baptize in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, but don't do it in Jesus' name, then it doesn't stick. So again, I think a lot of these are man-made issues. I'm going somewhere today, okay? Hang in there with me.
Hey, Coach, but you and I do the same thing. You and I do the same thing. We just cover the base, right? Let that little simple thing, right? I baptize the Father, Son, Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. All right.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Laura Ann.
Good morning. Okay, so I have the gift of speaking in tongues, but it does, and I use it the way the Lord directs me.
Can you use it in a church? Can you use it in a church that doesn't believe in speaking in tongues?
No, because in the word it says that if it's going to cause somebody else to fall, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Okay. So
what if you pray
this
silently?
This is the other side of it. This is the other side of it.
Lauren, what if you pray silently in tongues?
I can pray silently because I'm talking to the Lord.
Okay. All right. But wait a minute.
I mean, that's between me and Jesus.
Baptists and the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Presbyterians, none of them believe in that. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. But I'm getting to my point. Thank you, sir. Okay, so that's a gift that I have, but we have doctrines, right? They're all doctrines. We have a house that's divided against one another because it's based on doctrine and how that specific theologian studied it and where it came from. Catholicism, Calvinism, Wesley's. Baptist, and this comes back from the Anabaptists, because everybody's got blood on their hands because Calvinists killed the Anabaptists because of doctrine and theology, right? But we're supposed to show ourselves approved by studying the Word of God. And what's missing now in this time is there's no discipleship, nobody's studying the Word, and there's no spiritual parenting. Nobody's taking responsibility, and that starts and it's not even a pulpit anymore. It starts on the stage because they're telling you what to believe and how to believe. So we're a house divided against one another, so we can't stand. So that's why Satan thinks he gets to roar so loud. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords roars, and he's calling us back to the place of discipleship. And here is the place, Coach, that you've taken a team that was in the stands. You put them on your bench. And you're coaching them. Sometimes it's individual, sometimes it's group, sometimes they're on the injured list, right? Because they've got to go, so and they have to go to special training, and you know, and so that's my point. We got to be united against one another. We have to be studying the Word together, so that we can put on the correct armor. If I put on, let's say if I put on a jersey by Shaq O'Neal, I'm 5'8". His jersey is not going to fit me.
Go down to your, be like a dress, be down to your knees.
And I'm not going to wear heels if I have to go play on a basketball court, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm not, you know, I play 16-inch softball. If I go in and play league ball, I'm going to get my butt kicked because I don't know how to use a mitt because it's foreign to me. And I play with my hands. And if I have a league ball coming at me while I'm up to bat, it's gonna eat me up. I'm used to slow pitch, 16-inch, and I play second base. So,
hang on
like,
a second, Lauren. Hang on just a second. Spencer, find up foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Keep going, Lauren.
Foolish
and unlearned questions.
So I have to play where the Lord has positioned me.
That's
and
right.
On the field that he needs me to be on. Okay. So, and I'm not a cheerleader. I can't do it. I'm an encourager. I'm the one on the field that will talk smack, but encourage you. And if you're on the opposing team, but we're on the same, we're all football players. I'll be and you go down. I'll be the first one there praying next to you or pulling you up.
Amen. 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 And I can go sit into a crowd of people who pray in tongues and a crowd of people who don't pray in tongues, and I can feel perfectly comfortable with either group. I don't know about you guys. I can. Those are my brothers and sisters, right? Not everybody's a tight end. Not everybody's a tackle. Not everybody's a right guard. Not everybody's a left guard. Not everybody's a quarterback. We are all given gifts. Now, I got up on the screen right now. Steve Deck, I haven't forgotten about you. I swear I haven't. 2 Timothy 2. Start about verse 20 real quick. Because this is where most of Christianity is, I think. 2 Corinthians 20 says, but in a great house, there are not only, this is just a guess where I should be. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. This is in a great house, which would be his house, wouldn't it? If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel in honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. But you got to flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. The servant of the Lord must not strive. What does that mean, not strive? Strive. Servant of the Lord must not strive. That word must mean something. Spence, what's that mean? Strive. Spirit, huh? Let's not strive. To make efforts, to use exertions, to endeavor with earnestness, to labor hard. So what does it say? The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Rather than going in and constantly telling everybody you're doing this wrong, 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 be gentle. Unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those, look at this, that oppose themselves. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Fighting against yourself? If God, peradventure, would just give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, that they maybe recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Friends, I hate to tell you this. There's some doctrines you're being taught that ain't true. Sorry. Episcopal, Lutheran, Baptist, Church of God in Christ, Episcopal. I could run down to them. Catholic. Are Catholics even Christian? I hear that question all the time. Are Catholics Christian? Well, I was a Catholic for a long time. I think I was Christian. I'm scratching my face again, Chad, because I'm thinking. Huh? I think I was Christian. Was I born again? No, I wasn't born again. Oh, I had a form of godliness, but I denied the power thereof. That was me. Then I met Jesus. I don't know where you are in your walk, because it's all, you know, Pope said no such thing as being, have a personal relationship with Jesus. I got one. Maybe he needs one. Okay, I'm all over the place here, but you're with me, right? Guys are with me? And so I love to come here and talk about things that are controversial. See, I don't want to go to church. I don't want you to come here every morning and everybody say, well, repeat after Coach Dave. repeat this and believe this and believe this and believe this. I don't do that. That is so stupid. So stupid. I want to come here and have a free flow of ideas. And when it's over, you're not mad. You're not mad. You walk away with a better understanding that you're no longer, it's no longer a foolish and unknown question. Now, I said a little bit just before we went live, the whole flat earth thing. Let me make this as clear as I can. I don't care. I really don't care. Now, I'm not trying to discourage somebody who does care and thinks it's really, really important. But to me, it doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. I know that I was going to do a show today on the lies that the government's told us. I'm still getting there, I guess, sort of, right? If somebody came tomorrow and told me that the earth was flat, or if somebody came tomorrow and told me the earth was round, brought proof, it wouldn't affect my life, not one little bit. Although, we ought to be purveyors of the truth, right? And why haven't we been told the truth? The lies we've been told. Man, oh man, I'm all over the place. Jeff Klein, come on in. I'm heading somewhere, I swear I am. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, I don't know how much this would tie in with it, but you know, it's like some churches, religions, doctrines, they believe you just got to sit in the church building. Some believe you got to come out once in a while. So you get a mixture of both.
Some believe you can impact the culture, and some don't believe you can. You waste your time.
You know, and they give you that line of crap, proselytizing and cramming your religion down somebody's throat. And I see his name up there, and I think of my old brother, the pretzel dude. He's out there in the streets selling him a pretzel and giving Jesus. You know what I mean? Yep. But some people think that's just horrible.
That's right.
Like, don't be talking about Jesus at your car lot to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Jeff, that's why everywhere I go, my wife will attest to this yesterday. I didn't wear my cross hat yesterday. I wore my Jesus hat, my J-E-S-U-S. I got one over here somewhere. And I commented to Michelle when we came home. People look at me and look at the hat, and they're immediately nervous. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They look at me, they look at the hat, and they're immediately uncomfortable. They wouldn't mind if I had Malcolm X up there. They wouldn't care about that. But I got Jesus on my hat. They wouldn't mind if I had MAGA up there. They'd be high-fiving me. I got Jesus. Wonder if I could find that little visor on. Doesn't matter.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Had that guy there about a week ago come in my office, and he had a POW hat, missing in action. He was a military guy, blah, blah, blah. He was looking at all the Trump hats and had a few of them cross hats up there, right, mixed with them.
Yeah.
He said, whoa, he said, look at this hat. He pulled it off the rack, put it on his head. He said, I'm buying this one. He handed me his POW hat. He said, here, you can have this one. I'm wearing this one. I said, buddy, I give him one of your cards. I said, tune in to the show. You're going to have to know why. Who's that?
Amen.
That is funny.
But, folks, you do understand. I get you right with you there, Betty. You do understand, don't you? That your church, led by your pastor, who may be the greatest guy ever come down the pike, you're being taught what he believes. Please tell me you understand that. You are being taught what he believes. He's not going to teach you what he doesn't believe. And the fact that he believes something doesn't make it right or it doesn't make it wrong. But you better realize you're being taught what he believes about the Bible. Right? Supposedly that's what denominations were all about in the beginning, right? We believe that we believe in speaking in tongues. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. We're spirit filled. You're spirit empty, I guess, would be the opposite of that, right? Catholics pray to Mary. They say, no, we don't. Yeah, you do. They do the rosary. I mean, come on, traditions of men, whether we like to admit it or not. Betty, come on in. Can't hear you, Betty. You're muted for some reason. Doesn't look like you're muted, but I don't hear you. Come back in. Dave Allison, come on in.
Hey, Jeff, take that missing in action hat and go give it to your minister.
Yeah, remember when they had those MIA hats? Yeah, go give it. Go give it to him. That's right. Good one, Dave. Is that it? Was that it? James Thomas, come on, James. Got to unmute. Betty's back in. Come on back in, Betty.
Sorry.
Hang on, Betty. James, come on. Go ahead, James.
Sorry, brother. That's love right. Your show. I just put it in my pocket and hit my hand. That's all right. Love
all right, it. Buddy. All right, man. Betty. Can't hear you, Betty. You're mute, man. What's Spencer doesn't know what's going on either. Cannot hear you. Jeff Klein.
Hey, you mentioned that hat, giving it to a pastor. Here's what I did with it. First thing my thought was, I look in the window at my car lot, right in the window, and it's been there now for a year and a half. Well, for 4 years. Our picture of J6. All our guys in the picture, and they got Pastor Bill there with that bullhorn in his hand. So you know what I did? I set that hat right up beside Pastor Bill's, our picture. Mm-hmm. I thought, now here's a prisoner of war. And they've caused him to be missing in action. So I'm going to take a picture and send to Pastor Bill. That's what they've done to him. That's, you know what I mean?
Well, that, Jeff, they've made the rest of us believe he's a criminal.
Yeah, but they've just stifled him and, you know what I mean, shut him down.
You better realize you're next, right? You're next.
Yep.
Why? Because, see, the devil loves us fighting amongst ourselves. He loves that. He loves all these different denominations, and I'm not making fun of denominations because they've been around a lot longer than me. A lot longer than me. They can trace their history back. They've been around a lot longer than me. But they can't all be right. They cannot all be right. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things that are going to make some people mad. Number one, can somebody show me anywhere in the Bible where I'm supposed to pray to Mary? I was raised Catholic. I think I'm still one. Can anybody show me anywhere where we're supposed to pray to Mary?
Or the saints.
Or the saints. Either one. I can't find it. And people say, well, Coach, the Catholic Church was here first. I know they were. Where did they find that doctrine? Where did they find? I'm not picking on the Catholic Church. I'm trying to get you to think. Why can't priests get married? Why can't priests get married? So that means that if you're a Protestant minister, whatever that means, Protestant, I'm a protesting minister, I'm allowed to get married? The Bible says to be a husband of one wife, doesn't it? I don't want to debate all this. I'm just trying to show you what they have done to us, what the enemy has done to us with confusion. Bobby, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, I just want to say one last thing. I just want to read this short paragraph out of this book, Defenders of the West, Christian Heroes Who Stood Against Islam. All right, we're talking about Christianity and our inability to get our crap together, right? Christians are incapable of, and this is 14th century, right? And the same thing holds true today. Christians are incapable of united action against us. This is Muslims speaking. The Christian potentates will never unite against us when, after protracted efforts, they conclude something like a peace among themselves. It never lasts long. No doubt they think much, speak much, and explain much, but after all, they do very little. When they decide to do anything, they waste much time before they begin to act. Suppose they have even commenced something, they cannot progress very far. And with it, because they are sure to disagree amongst themselves how to proceed. 14th century. And I'm telling you, the horse, when I'm talking about, I mean, this, it took the death of 65,000 Christians to retake Jerusalem during those crusades. I'm talking about a horror show that even the awake can't even imagine of what it took to maintain the livelihood of Christianity in those times.
Bobby Lee, it's because they taught us that God loves everyone. And that's just not true, friends. God's love is available to everyone, but he doesn't love everyone. He loves those he has a relationship with. You understand? That's one of the lies. Okay, I'm heading some. Betty, looks like maybe we can get her in here. I got something I got to throw up here.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, good morning.
I don't know. Those AIs, they just don't like us. No, I tell you. But I was just going to say the pastors, usually when they preach what the people want to hear, not what is the truth, because they do not want to lose their members, because they get offended if someone walks out, you know, instead of offending them and telling them the truth. And also the Book of Enoch, that people need to read that about twice. And the encyclopedia pre-1958, it actually had about the firmament. It had about the how many feet it was to the firmament from the Antarctica or North Pole. It was like 30,000 feet. And in the middle, it was like 330,000 feet. So I am trying to find an encyclopedia pre-1958 so I can show that our government is trying to hide whatever they can.
Well, that's good, Betty, but you know what? I don't even have to look back that far to think the government's hiding something. I go back to 1963 when they killed Kennedy. Look what they're hiding. In fact, I can just go back to Russia, the stuff they're hiding there. So the idea of
9/11.
We cannot be shocked and surprised when ungodly men tell lies. We can't. Why was that surprise us? And we put ungodly men in positions of power and they lie to us and then we're surprised. Wow, they're lying. Wow. Do you really believe that the average person who runs for Congress does it out of the goodness of their heart? Have you been drinking? Come on in, Dale. Still trying to get Steve Deck. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. A little testimony. We've had this family that's been coming now for the past 3 weeks. They absolutely love it. They love it when I talk politics. But yesterday, so I few weeks, you know, you don't want to push down on them. I saw none of them had a Bible when they come, so I gave them all Bibles, right, yesterday. But, Coach, see, I've learned this from the show. It's not about me preaching. And so we interact with the scriptures. And so I called on their son, young little lad. His name was Levi. And I said, all right, can you read? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, would you open to Psalms, yada, 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 this passage of scripture? And I would use those scriptures to preach from. Tears welled in this little boy's eyes.
Wow.
He couldn't find it. I said, go sit. Listen, we're going to call you little Levi because big Levi is my son. So he goes over there. Levi points out with the scripture. Coach, he reads it. I'm looking at the dad's face. And I said, can I ask you a question there, Brandon? That's his name. How can you forget that name? And I said, Brandon, how does that make you feel listening to your son read? Man, he welled up with tears, Coach. Let me tell you what. When the body will minister to the body in churches, let me tell you what, it gets personal and it becomes real.
Yes, sir. Not do's and don'ts, not just do's and don'ts. Huh?
Yes, sir. Boom, Dale.
Minister that spirit. Amen. Glenn, come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Coach. Sure. Yeah, so, you know, when you look at Christianity, Let me try to make an analogy. See if this makes sense. So we have. Let's say, for example, you're a fly fisherman, okay, and you really like to fly fish. So you just go out there and you find a stream that you think is a really good place, and you just go out and you fish. All right, and then there are people who like the idea of fly fishing, so they go ahead and they find a guide, and the guide takes them out into the stream, and he tells them, okay, cast over here, and we're going to go to this stream. We're not going to go to that stream. You cast over here, kind of like the pastor, right? Yeah. And then we have those people that just kind of out there observing the fly fishermen and watching and watching them catch fish. So we have three types of people.
No, I got a cane pole with just a bobber on it.
Oh, we have those that are just – they just take it and they go out and do it, right?
Yeah.
And others need a guide or a pastor, and then there's people that just they just out there watching.
Amen. That's where a lot of ways to fish, I guess. A lot of different ways to fish. So let me switch gears here real quick, because Steve Deck just got back from Africa. Steve, don't tell us your life story, but Steve, did you run into religion in Africa?
Oh, the people are on fire for the Lord. And, you know, you talked earlier about tongues. You know, when you run a lot of people that speak in tongues, you can sense a similarity in the tongue language or identical. And they had their tongue language was very identical from what I've heard in America. And, but boy, oh boy, they're on fire for the Lord. Now, I see you got the map of Africa there. If you blow up, you'll see that big body of water there on the lower part of Africa. That's where we were at. That's the national park of Gorgonzia.
So where the island, look at Africa there, folks, where the island is to the right there. That's what Steve's talking about.
The big body of water.
Yep.
That first dash line to the left is where I actually was.
Big body of water on that continent itself at about the midpoint. Yes, sir.
Yep.
And Steve, they're open to the gospel and enough doing they're religion.
6 hours that stuff. A day. Martha says, we don't get out of here. We'll never get out of here. They start worshiping for 6 hours.
Wow. You know?
But in the past, you know, the average age is late 20s, early 30s, and there was 9 young men that were called to be, felt the prompting to be pastors. And man, oh man, you could just hear them preach. And they're on fire. They're on fire. As well as their wives. As well as their wives. Their wives are worship leaders.
You know? So, Steve, what did you sense was the difference between, as I'm looking at the map, between Africa and Pennsylvania?
What's the difference? The 32 hours of travel.
Oh, time. Come on, dude. Come on.
But you mean church wise?
Spirit wise. Yeah, spirit wise.
Everywhere I went in Africa, the people were on, they just had this joy in them. And let me tell you something, they live on pennies on the dollar. Pennies on the dollar. I found out later, the pastor saw a carpenter millman. I was there for 40 minutes to cut the cross because I had no tools, no handsaw. I was locked up at the house. So I said, what do I owe you? He says, 50 of MZT money. That's their money. And I gave him a $20 tip. Came out to be $1.04 of his time. You know, things were cheap. Some things were just very cheap. And like lumber, I bought the cross material to build
Steve, are they, just curious, are they arguing over end time prophecy there?
None of that going on there. They just want to worship the Lord.
These must not be real Christians then.
They're on fire. Huh? They're on fire for the Lord for sure.
Wow. I'm gonna make somebody nervous here, man.
Yeah.
Well, get some sleep. Wow, welcome back.
I'm all reset. It's all good.
All right, buddy. I'm proud of you, Steve, for doing that, man. Proud of you. I want to make a point here. Spencer, I forgot to tell you, I was down in West Virginia. J.R. Harrison and I were down there with Pastor Butch Paul for an event for the Natural Family. And we had a small crowd. I'm going to show you a little video here in a second if I get time. But small crowd, maybe 50 people. You know, Pastor Butch told me afterwards, he sent out letters to 77 pastors, 77 churches. 77 churches. So I'm going to say it again. 77 churches. They don't come. Don't play that yet. That's not where I want to go yet. I'm going to. I want you to go to Sherman's March. Sherman's March. I don't know if you guys know this. Spencer, boy, I'm going to see how good you are, Spencer. Google real quick. Phil Sheridan statue. Phil Sheridan statue. No, S-H-E-R. Phil Sheridan, keep going, statue. Good, Somerset, Ohio. There it is, right here, click on it. That statue sits in right in downtown Somerset, Ohio, which just, that right, this, yeah, that's it, the photo. Yeah, there it is. That's Phil Sheridan. He was a Civil War general. Bob, we all heard of Sherman's March to the Sea. I don't know if you know that Sherman was from Lancaster, Ohio. And Sheridan was from Somerset, Ohio. They're about 10 minutes apart. And they were two of the greatest Civil War generals ever, Sherman's March to the Sea and General Sheridan. In fact, the school down there is named Sheridan High School. And in this little downtown of Somerset, which I'm telling you, they can't have 1,000 people in Somerset. The statue of Phil Sheridan's right in the middle of downtown. That's one you see right in the middle there. And he's got his hat on, his head him up, moving him around, talking about the battle during the Civil War. Phil Sheridan. And he's a hero, and boom, Phil Sheridan. Named the school after him. Everybody's got Sheridan. Well, you want to know what Phil Sheridan did? He's sitting down. You want to know what Phil Sheridan did? Pull up Sheridan's March. I'm just going to run down through this a little quickly for you, okay? I'm going to put it in chat and you can have it later on. General Sherman said to Mrs. Sherman on July 31st, 1862, the purpose of war is extermination. Not of soldiers alone. That is the least part of the trouble. with the people. War is extermination of the people. Think about that a minute. Distinguished military history and D.H. Little Hart observed that the code of civilized warfare, which had ruled Europe for over 200 years, was first broken by Lincoln's policy of directing the destruction of civilian life in the South. There was a time in American war where soldiers only killed soldiers. Did you guys know that? Did you know what happened? They're talking about Sherman here and Phil Sheridan and Sherman's march to the sea. Does anybody know what happened, history students, what Sherman's march to the sea was? Can somebody give me a layman's opinion of that real quickly? Sherman's march to the sea. Anybody know?
Destroy supply lines.
They went down, they burned everything they could, didn't they, Roger? Sherman marched down to Atlanta. We saw all the night they drove old Dixie down. And all the people were singing. Remember that night they drove old Dixie down. That was Sherman's march to the sea. One of the main characters in Sherman's march to the sea was Phil Sheridan, who has a school named after him in the middle of Perry County, Ohio, as a great hero. I'm not making fun of Phil Sheridan. But would you like to know what Phil Sheridan did? Scroll on down. Scroll on down, Spence. I don't know. I'll tell you when to stop. Okay, look. Here you go. Here. And folks, they built a statue of this guy now. Come on. In August of 1863, Charleston, South Carolina was not defended by Confederate forces with a six-month bombardment of the city commenced exploding more than 22,000 artillery shells in the city. Unexploded shells can still be found there. Sherman ordered the four-day bombardment of Atlanta. Hang on! This is an American bombing Americans. Sherman ordered the four-day bombardment of Atlanta in the fall of 1864, and when it was only occupied, Atlanta was only occupied by women, children, infants, and elderly men. When his artillerists targeted homes wherever they spotted human habitation. As many as 5,000 artillery shells rained down on Atlanta's civilian population in a single day. Corpses littered the streets, something that Sherman called a beautiful sight.
All with the blessing of Lincoln.
Come on, baby, that's what I'm heading. Thousands of surviving residents were homeless on the onset of winter. Such war crimes were committed by Lincoln's army. With his direction and full knowledge of the duration of the war, it is said that when Prussian military invited Sherman's sidekick, General Phil Sheridan, to whom they have a statue and a school named after, to present a lecture on the American War for the Prussians, who were no shrinking violets, they were shocked and disgusted by how he described the murder, rape, plunder, and arson that occurred under his command in the Shenandoah Valley. Folks, can you digest that verse right there? Can you digest that? Sherman presented a lecture on how he was shocked and disgusted by how he described the murder, rape, plunder, and arson that occurred under his command. In other words, Northern Americans raping, plundering, murdering, and burning down the homes of other Americans. Somebody say, wow, I never thought of that. I never thought that's what happened.
Hey, Coach, I just put a three-minute video to give you an idea of how the average Confederate soldier viewed their struggle against the Union Army. I put a three-minute video in the chat if Spencer can pull it out.
Okay, pull it up here in just a second. Okay. Remember now, they've built a statue of this guy. Just 3 months after Robert E. Lee surrendered at Appomattox, which was all the land west of the Mississippi River, his orders were essentially to wage a campaign of genocide against the Plains. And these are Christians, folks. Which he did for the next 25 years, killing some 45,000 Indians, women and children included, placing the rest in the concentration camps called reservations. Nothing new under the sun. In 1891, the year of his death, Sherman expressed his regrets that his army did not kill every last Indian. He's famously associated with the genocidal quip, "The only good Indian is a dead Indian." And he did all this, he once said, to make way for the government-subsidized railroads of which he was a major stockholder. Wow. During the Philippine insurrection, 1899, U.S. Army killed some 200,000 Filipinos, with some estimates that 1 million civilians were killed. That was after the Spanish-American War also massacred thousands of civilians. You ever understand? If we're going to have a war with Russia, why don't Joe Biden and, what's his name? Oh, no. Who's the guy in Russia? Putin. Why don't Joe Biden and Putin go have an arm wrestling contest and winner wins? Why do they send thousands and thousands of young 20-something-year-old boys go to kill other 20-year-old something boys only because the government says to do it? Only because the government says to do it. Right? And then you watch what happens on J6.
Amen.
And when J6ers, when men and women show up and say, wait a minute, this is wrong. What you're doing is wrong. They arrested the men saying it's wrong. Do you get, folks, are you seeing this picture? I'm going to put this in the chat. You read the rest of it. Phil Sheridan, to whom there is a statue to this day. I can drive about 8 miles downtown Somerset, Ohio. There's a statue of Phil Sheridan. The school's named after him. And he was a maniacal, what, murdering, slimy scumbags. Why? There's no rules in war, are there? Pull that video up and let's see if we can see that real quick. Hey, folks, this is America. Oh, I got, Lord, do I have to say it? Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I heard you, Lord, I'll do it. That's what's going on in Palestine. Boom. Go ahead and play that. One that so he said he sent one for us to look at. Did you put in the chat? Is there a video in the chat?
There is, yeah.
Glenn, put one in the chat.
It's the one that says how the average Confederate viewed their struggle against the Union Army.
Throughout the broad extent of the country through which you have marched, by your respect for the rights and property of others, you have always shown you are soldiers, not only to defend, but able and willing both to defend and protect. You've already won a brilliant reputation throughout the Army of the whole Confederacy, and I trust in the future by your deeds in the field and by the assistance of the same kind providence who has hitherto favored our cause, you will win more victories and add luster to the reputation you now enjoy. You already gained a proud position in the future history of this, our second war of independence. I shall look with anxiety to your future movements, and I trust whenever I shall hear of the 1st Brigade on the field of battle, it will be of still nobler deeds achieved and higher reputation won. In the Army of the Shenandoah, you were the 1st Brigade. In the Army of the Potomac, you were the 1st Brigade. In the 2nd Corps of this Army, you are the 1st Brigade. You are the 1st Brigade in the affections of your general. And I hope by your future deeds and bearing, you will be handed down to posterity as the 1st Brigade in this, our second war of independence. Farewell.
Let there be no doubt, folks. Come on now, that they plundered civilians. that plundered civilians during the Civil War. We plunder civilians. Julie.
Good morning. Great show. Yeah, if you go in there to Clayhaus, the restaurant in Somerset, there's a whole history of like what you were talking about. Yep. And even the owner's son, anyway, he would be glad to like fill you in. It's just, it's fascinating, you know, because they've got that original building that was in that time, and they've mm-hmm. kind of like kept it that way, and it's just amazing. So,
just yeah, the point I'm making, Julie, is they've lied to us about us, our history, right? They made the Northern Army look righteous when they pillaged and burned and murdered and raped all the way down through there. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, that's a good point. Thanks for pointing that out. Coach, you know, one another thing that Sherman did before he died, got old, is when the Chicago fire happened, which was an intentional event, he was the man who upheld and governed there with martial law. Why, Coach? I'll tell you why. Because they were resetting the mafias and the government control over that city. And that's what happened, and that's what it was all about. And he was a big player for the globalists way back then.
Folks, don't ever forget, governments fight wars, not people. People don't fight. Now, wait a minute. The people fight the war. The government picks the fight. It's the guys in Washington, D.C. that are picking a fight with the Russians. It's the guys in Washington, D.C., who are picking a fight with the Chinese. It was the government in Washington, D.C. that picked a fight with the Vietnam. You understand? It's not between the peoples. It's never between the peoples. It's about which group of government is going to rule the highest and the most. And can I tell you, for the most part, that's never of the Lord. It's never of the Lord. And I don't have time yet. Maybe I'll get into it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow because, yeah, we can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday. You really want to know the truth about the genocide going on in Palestine or not? You really want to know? See, there's a Sherman's March to the Sea going on over the Middle East right now. And once again, the good guys are cheering it on. The slaughter of innocent people because two governments don't get along. Glenn. Your hand was still up. I don't know if you want to come in, Glenn.
Yeah, and I just, Sheridan was also instrumental in rounding up the hostile Plains Indians. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, what? They got a statue of him, man. The school's named after him. So that old saying that the winners write the history, boy, there's a lot of truth to that, isn't it? And ask yourself where we are today. Who did Washington, D.C. lock up? Only those who wanted the truth. Only those who wanted honesty. And all we have to do is look around and realize how much our government is lying to us every day. But we believe them about on an election. And now you know this. If you show up in Washington, D.C. complaining about an election, you're going to jail. Keith.
Unioto Sherman's of Ross County, Ohio.
Yeah. Unioto Sherman's. They named their football team after that guy who marched to the sea and murdered and maimed and raped Americans, other American citizens. Folks, it's our history is unbelievable. Jack, quickly.
Yeah, I want to know where Sherman went to church.
I tell you, it wasn't some peace and love church, I guess, huh? Hey, what was it? War is hell. Didn't somebody tell us war is hell? Hey, friends, I tell you this. Coming down the pike again, isn't it? War is hell. And you better know this. It's the elite. It's the governments that are starting the wars, not the people. You understand how the government, how much they're trying to race relationships? Black against white over and over. So we never, ever see that the real problem is those who are sitting in high places. The Republicans and the Democrats picking war for the rest of us. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Thanks for getting up with me. See you tomorrow.